This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 19. We are so excited for Out of the Park Baseball 19. It is the best version of Out of the Park Baseball ever made, and by a lot. And that is saying something for a game that has won PC Game of the Year as recently as 2017, folks. Out of the Park Baseball 19, not only can you pre-order it today and get 10% off and get it 3 days earlier than its March 22nd launch date, but you can also now, for the first time ever, get Out of the Park Baseball 19 on Origin, EA's Origin platform. And if you are an EA Origin Access subscriber, you'll get Out of the Park Baseball 19 as part of that service. This is crazy. Brand new stuff we've never done before. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is full of all sorts of special stuff. We've got all new in-game animations, beautiful new 3D stadiums. The in-game interface has been upgraded. Fans are really excited about it, those that have seen the new screenshots which are out there. A lot of great excitement out there. We're so happy. Out of the Park Baseball 19, if you want to check it out, you can get it a bunch of different ways. You can get it through Steam, you can get it through Origin, or you can get it directly from Out of the Park Developments. If you want to pre-order it, save 10%, and get it 3 days early, go to otpdevelopments.com, click the pre-order button, or you can get that same 10% pre-order discount from EA's Origin platform. So many ways to check out Out of the Park Baseball 19. We are so excited. Can't wait for March 22nd. Enjoy the show.
Well, we are back here at the Press Row Podcast. I'm here with Rich Grisham and TJ Lowerman, kind of the OGs of the podcast. Rich, how you been?
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you very much. Always happy to be on the show. Lots of fun stuff to talk about tonight. Good to be here.
Yep, very baseball-centric, and we'll be getting to all that kind of stuff a little later on. But we've got a fun discussion to have with you, Rich, as you've moved into the, I was going to say the future, but it's more the current day.
Moved into the current. Yeah, that's accurate for sure.
Yeah. And TJ, welcome back to the podcast. How you doing?
Brian, I am so happy to be here. And it's my favorite time of the year. Baseball is among us. Mm-hmm. The grass is covered in snow, but there's baseball on TV I can watch. I don't have to shovel to see that.
Very densely weighted, heavy snow. Yes.
My back is still hurting from yesterday.
My back is destroyed. TJ and I both live in New Jersey, and we got crushed with 8 inches of heavy, wet snow that, because we're both men, we had to shovel our entire driveways because that's what we do. But boy, it's punishing, man. It is not easy.
Yeah, someone rang the doorbell, and if I had any cash, I might have taken him up on it.
Me too. They don't do that. I would have happily paid someone to do that.
We had snow here too, actually. We had schools were starting late or canceled. I think it was like 4 times within about a 10-day period in mid to late February. And that was really pretty unusual here for in Seattle. So I know you guys are a little more used to it, but you also have to deal with it a little more. So here it just kind of melted off during the day and then came back again. But now we're through that. And you're right, TJ, it is baseball season. We are to spring training and we are really just a couple weeks away from, well, there's like 4 baseball games coming. There's MLB The Show 18, there's Super Mega Baseball 2, there's RBI Baseball, and there's Out of the Park Baseball 19. There might be others, I don't know, but that's like a
Japanese
lot.
There's a new Power Pros coming out, I think like April 27th or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, well, it's a lot.
To be fair, it's coming out whether you speak Japanese or not.
I mean, I might get it and not be able to read Japanese anyway. So.
Well, you have done that before with Pro Yukura Spirits. Is that how you say it?
Close enough.
Good.
You can just say Pro Baseball Spirits. I think they started naming them at the end.
So, Rich.
Yes.
You finally, here we are months later.
Yes.
You finally have your 4K TV set up.
Yes.
And you've got an Xbox One X to go with it and a PlayStation or Pro. Yes. So tell me, how did it go just setting things up?
I will say that relatively speaking, Brian, it was painless. And that's pretty amazing considering what all of those things were. Meaning it was hanging 2 televisions on the wall, mounting on brackets on the wall. It was enabling a PlayStation 4 Pro and an Xbox One X with an existing account and all of my stuff on my OG day one PS4 and Xbox One, and making it all work really was shockingly easy, and I'm really happy about that. So before I hung up the existing television that I had in the room, as well as the new one that I had gotten, the 4K, I transferred the PS4 to the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One to the Xbox One X. Both were easy. The Xbox transfer was a little easier, but the PS4 Pro was pretty much almost as easy. You know, you had to log in with your account to both. I had external hard drives with a lot of stuff on them, and I just kind of plugged them in. And once I sort of authenticated myself on the new machine, it was pretty easy to both then quickly re-download what I didn't already have, as well as for it to recognize the external hard drive and all the games I had on both of them. So that was really, that's really just amazing. Like the fact that they could do that, and you know, for machines that I had had many years of games and saves on it, and you know, the downloading the cloud saves from the PlayStation Cloud was beautiful. I mean, I was late in the season of my NBA 2K franchise, which I'll talk about a little later, and you know, within a few moments, the exact where I was in the season was on my new machine, just by getting it from the cloud save. I'm just super happy that that's the way that it is, right? We've never really had that before, and it's all, I'm sure the engineering underneath takes a lot of things to make that happen. So kudos to Sony and Microsoft for making that easy. And then the TVs, I had a good friend of mine come over who knows how to do that stuff, and we just you know, hung up the brackets, hung up the TV, the original, the 4K TV, which is the bigger one, I think it's 55 inches, got hung up, and it was a little too high. It was almost touching the ceiling, so we lowered it, and then fit the other one underneath it, and had some furniture downstairs that was able to fit really nicely. Got a few pictures I tweeted out, and overall, it's just amazing. My son and I have been having fun, you know, him playing on one TV and me on the other. You know, he's big into the golf story, right now, so he's been playing that, because I got the Pro, the Xbox One X, and the Switch plugged into the 4K TV, and I have the cable and the classic consoles, the SNES Classic and the NES Classic, plugged into the lower. So there's a lot of TV on the lower screen and games on the top, but because it's the kind of TV that also has a bunch of the apps embedded, you know, I can load up Hulu or Netflix or HBO, so you know, it's just really great. The whole, you know, there's no reason to have two televisions on your wall, Brian. I'm not saying it's like anyone, there's any reason, but having it is spectacular. It's so great. And you add on that I'm now, you know, seeing what 4K video games are like, because I really don't care about 4K TV or movies. 4K video games are great. It's just great. They're fantastic on the regular old PS4 and the Xbox. But man, on the Pro and the X, they look so great. I've been playing a bunch of stuff, which I'll go through. But I am super happy with the visuals and everything about 4K gaming. If you can afford it, do it, because it's awesome.
Yeah. So what did you start playing first? What have you played by now, and what are your thoughts on those?
So I've played FIFA. I'm in a fourth string online league for FIFA on the Xbox, which is great. Played Todd Zuniga and a couple of other folks, longtime fans of Fourth String and Press Row, know exactly what I'm talking about. The great Todd Zuniga, one of the writers of Long Shot. He's got a book coming out this fall. He travels the world with Literary Deathmatch. We had two matches, and I won both of them by a goal. I was Leicester, and he was Marseille. This is a really interesting league in that it's being kept on a Google Doc, and you can be any team you want as long as their three attributes are 79 or lower. So you don't have to like pick a single club and stick with them. I've chosen Leicester because when I played with him the first time against Brian, I actually scored a goal, because I'm not really a FIFA guy, right? I'm a Pro Evo guy. So anyway, I played some FIFA, which looks and sounds stupendous. I'm going to say that about every game. But FIFA in particular looks and plays just beautifully. I've also played Pro Evo, which is great. What was funny is, Brian, when I did the transfer, and I literally did the transfer, unlike the Xbox One X, I didn't do a system transfer. I just sort of logged in and downloaded a bunch of stuff. On the PS4 Pro, you can transfer the contents of your PS4 to the PS4 Pro. So I did that, and that took like an hour or so. And when I loaded up Pro Evo, everything was fine with like my season and stuff, but it didn't have any of the kits and the names that I had downloaded onto it earlier. Then, without doing anything magically today, when I was on the treadmill, I played my NBA 2K playoff game, and then I played Pro Evo, and the kits were back. So I was like very happy about that. So Pro Evo is beautiful, beautiful looking and sounding. And now that I got the kits back, I'm gonna get back to playing it more, because I was a little bummed. I was like, oh, I don't know where the thumb drive is, where I had the kits downloaded that I had loaded on USB earlier. But that's not a problem. I've also, as I mentioned, played NBA 2K. It looks and plays great. You know me, Brian. I love this game anyway. I'm playing my GM. I'm now in the NBA Finals with the Wizards. I've advanced all the way to the NBA Finals, and it plays and sounds and looks fantastic. That's what I played the most of is FIFA, Pro Evo, and NBA 2K. Oh, and I also did play a couple of games of NHL on the PS4 Pro, which also just looks unbelievable and sounds great, plays great. I'm just having a blast. I also, just non-sports game, played a little Battlefront 2 just for fun, you know, on the EA Access, and it looks and sounds amazing on 4K. It's just a feast, man. It's so much fun. And, of course, you know, my Xbox One X is my EA Access / Xbox Games Pass machine. So I'm just having a great time. It's awesome.
So you haven't played Madden on the Xbox One X?
No, I have actually downloaded it because it's not in the vault. I thought it was in the vault, but I can play it.
It is. It should
be. Oh, it is?
It may not say it, but it is.
Well, I downloaded the trial anyway, so I downloaded it, but I have not booted it up.
Mm. Yeah, because that is... of all the sports games I played on the Xbox One X, that is the most dramatically improved by the Xbox One X, as we talked about back in, what was it, November, whenever the Xbox One X came out. The other games, yeah, they look really nice. They look better, obviously. Madden is the one that really, performance-wise, improved dramatically. The others were already kind of... In a great position. Madden runs a whole lot better on there. So not only is it smoother and noticeably so when you play, but the loading times are so diminished. Again, I had that video back then where I had it side by side on a regular, I think it was a regular PS4 versus the Xbox One X, and you were into a game. I think it was like 40 seconds on the Xbox One X, and it was like a minute and 10 or something on the PS4. Mm. So that kind of stuff really adds up, the loading times. They weren't as improved with the other games, but you still get a little bit of the benefit there. So it's not just the visuals, but also frame rate in some of the games and loading times. So that's actually what I kind of appreciate in some ways more than the visuals.
Yeah, well, that's one of the cool things is that you can. There's a lot of things to like about it. Just the look of both. I mean, the PS4 Pro looks like the PS4, so it doesn't look different. But the look of the Xbox One X in particular is nicer, I think. Smaller, more compact. I've had no problems with the heat or with the sounds or the fans or anything. Oh, and I should mention also, I have also dabbled in, have barely touched, but at least. I did boot up Forza Horizon 3 and raced around in that for 5 minutes, and I tried to play Forza 7, but had to download an update and haven't been able to go back to it. So I've still just barely scratched the surface.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, Credible.com. You know, student loans can completely wipe you out if you don't get a handle on them. How do you do that? Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace for student loan refinancing, and using their simple platform, it takes less than 2 minutes to find out if you're overpaying on your student loans. Plus, you could save thousands by refinancing. All you have to do is visit credible.com/pressrow, answer a few quick questions, and right away you'll get real rates, not ranges of rates, from multiple lenders. Credible.com is completely free to use, and checking your rates will not affect your credit score, so you really have nothing to lose. The average user who refinances through Credible.com saves almost $19,000 over the life of their loan. Think about what you could do with $19,000. So, for a limited time, our listeners will get a $200 welcome bonus when refinancing through Credible.com/pressrow. Pay off your student loans faster or lower your monthly payment, whatever works for you. Just go to Credible.com/pressrow.
Okay, and Mr. That Sports Gamer, where have you been spending your time lately? What have you been streaming? What have you been playing on your own personal time?
You know, the trifecta of greatness that's that we have. MLB The Show, getting ready to turn it up for MLB 18 coming out. Been playing a lot of just people that are watching the stream, trying to get my timing back ready for the new season. More Out of the Park Baseball, again, just getting ready for the new season. I think I'm going to do a Braves franchise because I feel like now they're close. I did one like 2 years ago. I think they were still a little bit too far for my skill. I think now we got a chance to make them great. And then, of course, still playing Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. That game is pretty awesome. Though all my friends have left me and gone to play some dumb game. It looks like Minecraft and watercolors and stuff.
I was going to say,
I don't believe in Fortnite.
I don't play any of those games. They just don't interest me anymore because I would just die too quickly. What is
you can
it
always
about,
get good. You, That's
yeah. What is it about one and what is it about the other? And then why do some people prefer one or the other?
I think the people that like Fortnite like the building aspect, and it's a little more playful, I guess, when you look at it and you're playing it.
It's like a little more cartoony, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It's more like a cel-shaded look to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no blood and gore, right? If I have that right.
Yeah, I don't think you see any blood in that. But I like the gritty realness that PUBG provides. Though I did realize yesterday, so in my setup I have usually I use a mixing board for my audio. And I stopped doing that a couple days ago. I was just like, let me just use the microphone, the headphone jack and the microphone and use it USB. And I realized my PUBG game like went straight to garbage. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, I can't find where the bullets are coming from anymore. And I was playing around with it a little bit. And then I tried like there's this Razer Pro surround sound thing that's supposed to help if you have stereo headphones. It'll like simulate surround sound. I tried that. It was all still screwed up. Realized my microphone's headphone jack on it was backwards. Like I Googled, I went to YouTube and I put in like stereo audio test. And it says, here's audio in the left channel. And it was coming out the right side. And here's audio in the right channel. It was coming out the left side. So I'd been playing PUBG backwards for like a week and getting very frustrated. Switched to my other microphone, which was working. And I came in second, my first game back. I was very excited. But now I have to send my microphone back for repair. Video games are fun. Technology is awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Do you have anything else?
Can I complain about something?
Oh, this is a platform for complaints only.
Okay, so listen to this.
Yes.
As you know, I'm a huge fan of the WWE games on mobile. I've been playing WWE Champions, and also, since I've been having a lot of technology problems recently, my phone kind of crapped out on me, saying like the USB port didn't work, so I ended up sending it in, getting a new one, and to get my account reset on WWE Champions, because it's all done like in the cloud, first off, they make you play through the whole tutorial again, which is kind of a pain in the butt. Then, you have to like go through their support. I went through about 7 messages of, hey, I see that you're trying to recover your account. And I've sent them everything they've asked for. I've sent them the receipts of my microtransactions that I've done through the game. And then today I got a message. Hey, it seems like you're trying to recover your account. We're going to close out this conversation. Thanks. And never fixed it.
Ugh.
And I'm not furious. Maybe I was already over the game and I just wasn't 100% on it. But yeah, that's some awful customer service. I was pretty pissed about it because I kind of want to play the game still, but kind of don't. It's a match 3 game where you do wrestling moves. So if you ever played anything like, what was it, like 10 million, something like that? You ever play any of those on mobile? Match 3 and stuff happens, like a puzzle quest or something?
I have not.
You should. All good games. Rich, I know you're looking for mobile games all the time. Puzzle Quest, very good.
Written down.
And what was it? It was like 10 million or 100 million. There's another one. It's good.
One of those. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is a game like that. You acquire wrestlers and you rank them up and stuff, give them new moves that can do more power in the matches. I would kind of like to get back to it, but I can't without a new account. So I'm pretty SOL right now until they actually respond to me.
Yeah, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Like, some of those mobile games are just time sinks, you know, and then you get so invested. It's just like some of the, the Ultimate Team type modes where you get so invested and you don't want to give up on it because you put so much time, so much money into it. At least with the console games, you are basically resetting every year. Is sometimes in these mobile ones, you can just carry on for life, basically. Yeah,
I've been playing for, you know, like maybe a month on and off for the most part. And it's fun. I mean, you don't have to do microtransaction if you don't want to. But I did a couple just to see what it was all about. And it's a good game. I just hope you don't break a phone or make sure you back up using their Facebook Connect thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth checking out. WWE Champions, free on your Android and iOS App Store things.
Rich, what kind of games do you play on mobile? I've tried to play games on my phone, and I'd rather like browse Twitter and go through different websites in the browser than I would spend time playing games on it.
I go in phases big time. There are long stretches when I don't play games at all, and then there are certain times when I will find something and really love it. Like, Monument Valley is a great example of a really beautiful game that for 2 weeks I think I played as much as I could.
Rich, you just reminded me I lost my Monument Valley save in this.
Oh, sorry about that.
Monument Valley 2 I started playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now I can get back to that.
But in the last, let's say, 4 to 6 months, what I have been playing when I play on mobile, which is not my preferred platform by any stretch, but I love the Pac-Man app game. You know, it's like the original Pac-Man, but it's also got hundreds of other kind of levels that you can play. It's just super fun, and it's great for, you know, mobile gaming. You know, little spurts, 2, 3, 4 minutes, that kind of thing. Fantastic. There's also a game that I wish they had the original Arkanoid, but it's called Arkanoid versus Space Invaders, which is a fun game. So if you see a theme developing, it's kind of like classic arcade kinds of games, because for the most part, the controls, while clearly not perfect, they work, and they work well enough. And because you're not losing quarters when a control isn't perfect, you're just, you know, losing a turn, it also isn't a big deal. I also do love Mario Run, the Nintendo mm-hmm. the Mario game. That's super fun. Now, that's not a freebie or anything like that, but I really liked it. But what I do use my phone for entertainment-wise much more than anything else is that's when if I'm watching a TV show or a movie, I'm typically watching it on a mobile device, because that means I'm watching it on a plane or on the treadmill at my office when I'm there. So I don't play a lot of mobile games, but the ones that I do lately have tended to be of the arcade, you know, sort of classic arcade brand variety.
Yeah, I just looked through my phone. I don't have a single game installed on it. I've got a lot of apps, but not a single game anymore. I don't know. You remember the days when that was going to take over, when people claimed that mobile gaming was going to kill console gaming? You remember those days?
I remember saying that I disagree with it back then.
Yeah. That wasn't that long ago. What was that, maybe 5 years ago?
Well, yeah. I mean, because anytime something like that happens, you know, and it's a new way to do something, those are the kind of claims that are being made. I think, you know, what we've also discovered is that while, like, television is another great example, it's not that one thing is replacing another. It's that there's just all of a sudden 10 more ways to do things, right? There's now 10 ways, viable ways to play video games, right? On mobile devices or on Sony platforms or Nintendo platforms or the PC platform or the Microsoft platform. And then, you know, Nintendo Mobile and Nintendo, right? There's 10 different ways to watch a sporting event now, right? You could watch the Super Bowl on any kind of device anywhere, and movies and music. Like, it's not so much anything's replacing things. It's that there's just more ways to do it. Video games, you know, even subscription services, right? It's another thing. It's like, well, you could still go to a store and you'll be able to still purchase copies of games in 3 years and 5 years. But more and more and more people are going to be just buying services that get them access to a lot more. It's just more instead of replacing. And that's kind of what happened with the mobile games.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about MLB The Show.
Hey, Brian.
18.
I'm sorry. Before we do that, real quick, I want to say a couple things real quick. And yes, obviously we work for Out of the Park Baseball, so, you know, understood. But hey, listen, I just want to say I am amazed at the amount of work that it takes to release a video game, especially a video game with all of the different parts and puzzles that Out of the Park has. And I just want to say I would have said it even if he wasn't here. But I want to say to TJ and also to Chris Jardine, Snaggle J, those two guys have been doing an amazing job. We did a live unveiling of our new trailer last night, and it's just an amazing time to be part of Out of the Park developments. Go check out the trailer. But I also wanted to make a world exclusive announcement, Brian.
All right, this is the place to do it.
World exclusive, live on March 28th. Out of the Park Baseball will be revealing our official 2018 season simulations on the MLB Network's 2018 prediction special. So look for that. Look for that. We're very excited.
Is that going to be a Rich Grisham appearance, or is it are the hosts going through the results?
Our people are in negotiations for those kind of things, but rest assured, we will be well represented no matter what. So I just want to mention that. It's a lot of fun. And again, it's so much fun and so much work, but it's so much fun to be doing this. Thank you to everybody that's part of the community. We appreciate it. Okay, Brian, thank you for letting me say that. I appreciate that.
Oh, of course, Rich. So let's talk about MLB The Show 18 then, because this game is only now, 2 weeks away from release, and we're getting kind of the final details on the improvements, additions, and in one case, subtractions for the game. And let's talk about the really two big stories around MLB The Show 18 right now. And one relates to the removal of online franchise, and the other relates to the changes being made in Road to the Show. They're both pretty big deal. So, TJ, let's start by talking about online franchise, because this has created a bit of an uproar. I think the combination of how it was handled, how the information on the removal of online franchise was dispersed, and when it was dispersed. But there's a lot of people, you know, we're going to talk, I'm sure, about the numbers behind online franchise. But there are a lot of people that played it, and they're, you know, understandably are emotional about their preferred way to play being removed from the game. And whether it's on Reddit or MLB The Show's forums or Operation Sports or my site and Twitter and all that, there's a lot of people talking about this, a lot of people upset about it. So walk me through what you thought as you learned the news that online franchise was being taken out. And I don't think this is really a mode any of us have played, although we love online franchise modes. I don't think we have, because it's been lacking and flawed and faced the same kind of server issues that have hurt other areas of the game, like Diamond Dynasty. So what did you think of the news when that first came down?
Well, Brian, obviously you came to me first, because you remember that I am the current reigning Press Row Podcast online franchise champion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, who did I beat in the World Series?
You beat, it was me, right?
It was you, wasn't it? Right.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was competitive.
Yeah.
I think
it was kind of close. I do remember having to be the Cubs because there was a broken stamina issue in the game, and you needed a 6-man rotation or you were going to get screwed, and that may have happened to you.
Was that that was the show 16, right?
Yeah.
Was it? It might have been 15.
It was a few years ago. I don't remember which one.
It questionably could have been 14.
Which is the year it was introduced.
I don't think it was 14. I think it was year 2. I think it's 15 now that you say it. I'm pretty sure it was the second year of online franchise.
Okay. Well, As the king of the plugs, if you go to youtube.com/thatsportsgamer, I'm sure if you search for Press Row online franchise, you can find it. Or just Press Row. But yeah, I was a little upset that it was gone. Always, as the season as the time for the game comes out, I always start getting excited, thinking, hey, you know, we have a great a community that we could play online franchise with. And the last, well, pretty much since we played that that franchise in Press Row, it has not been worth playing because of bugs and seeming lack of care of the of that mode specifically.
Yeah, it was. It has not been improved upon since it was introduced in 4 years ago. So a lot of people who tried it at first, I think, definitely went away from it over time.
Yeah, when they said they were canceling it, I was actually surprised about the uproar of how many people were sad to see it go, because I didn't realize people were still playing it after all the problems we had. Well, it was MLB The Show 15 that we played.
Okay, there you go, second year. Yeah, so I think, you know, the total in numbers as far as how many people play the mode is low, relatively speaking, at least compared to the other modes in the game. But I think, what you have
last year or the year before, I think they actually like put out stats and it was the least played mode. But again, that's a chicken and egg kind of thing, because if the mode was better, more people probably would have played.
Yeah. And what you're seeing now, which I think is the reason why it's the response to the news has been so loud, it's because, look, you know, people aren't playing generally in 30-team leagues. They're playing with a good friend of theirs who maybe lives across the country or whatever, and they're playing together within the same league, not necessarily playing against each other all the time, but you're able to experience franchise mode with that social element with somebody else.
And a limited franchise mode. It wasn't anywhere near as full-featured as the full one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there was a lot of things wrong with the mode. It didn't have all the features. It had server issues, just general server issues, but it also had broken functionality, problems like the franchise simply not advancing, just getting stuck, and you just couldn't get beyond that point. So a lot of stuff that was really discouraging to people who were playing it and who, you know, it's put a lot of time in, and then just to see it basically go to waste. And then once that happens to you once, you're not coming back. You're not coming back to do it again. So, and that's, you know, we can look back, Rich, on, you know, the comp here would be to NHL, which had GM Connected, which had its own share of server slowdown and things of that nature that really made the experience dreadful in some respects. And then EA, using the low numbers, took it out, and then EA, of course, has not put it back in, because at this point in time, do we really get new features unless they can make money, Rich?
You do. You got Madden made Long Shot. That doesn't make money. NBA 2K makes their story mode, so those don't make money. You know, NBA 2K has continued to add to their non-revenue generating modes like MyGM and My League. So yeah, you do. I mean,
Okay. So yes, but let me rephrase that. Do we get an online franchise mode ever? Will we see another new online franchise mode come in just in the way that we know them in the past? Because we still never got one in FIFA, which blows my mind. We still, like, NHL doesn't have it. NBA Live, of course, basically rebooted, and franchise mode was a mess just in general, but they, of course, did not put an online franchise in. It seems like if you don't have it already, we're probably not going to get it back.
Oh, I agree with that. It's very, very, very complicated to do, and it's very hard to justify doing it. Right, I'm not suggesting it's right or it's wrong. I'm just, you know, these games are all about priorities. And what are your priorities, and how do you allocate different people against different things? You know, I don't believe what some people believe, which is that, you know, the people who make a lot or all of these games are just absolutely out to extract as much money from their fans as they can. And I don't think that's the case. I do think that all of these companies got to make money and got to make profits for their organizations, and they've sometimes not made decisions that I agree with in pursuit of having a successful business model too. Having said that, you know, online franchise is so complex and complicated, whether you're talking about GM Connected with, you know, all the stuff that goes on, or online franchise and MLB. What I wish that we could get is a nice in-between with, I mean, NBA 2K does actually have online franchise, right? So we should mention that too.
It's a half measure. Well, it's not. Yeah.
Right. But I'll take in FIFA, like I would be delighted with the ability to play, to set up, you know, an 8 or 10 or 12 team grid where everybody plays each other twice and it keeps track of it, right? It's just one and done. Like I would be fine with that. I would be fine with some sort of thing in MLB The Show where you would set up, you know, a 20-game season, quote-unquote, where you got 4, 8, or 12 teams and you just play each other and then have a playoffs. Heck, I would take just the ability – I would love the ability to just go create a tournament. Just create a tournament. The problem is these things are very easy to come up with on a whiteboard, and when you get down to building them, they're very complex. I think the only true online franchise that will continue to exist in any meaningful way is Madden, because it's made for it. Mm-hmm. You know, baseball, 162-game season, even if you sort of change the parameters of the seasons and stuff, like, it's just, it's so big and huge in terms of the number of games and number of players to do anything resembling an online franchise. And then when you do it, you have to have so many things right with, you know, salary caps or, you know, the economics and drafts and amateurs and Rule 5 this and minor leagues or, you know, affiliates. I mean, my goodness, it gets so big and so in-depth that I, frankly, am shocked that anybody ever tried it in the first place. And with MLB The Show, right, the reason that it was that we liked it is because conceptually it was so good, but it was so difficult to get a smooth game in online. That was why we didn't do it. So, like, there's a lot to this, but I totally get it, and I'm not going to pretend that I care that MLB The Show dropped the online franchise, because I personally am not going to play it anymore. And I'm the chicken and the egg guy, right? If the MLB The Show online experience was buttery smooth, I would be inclined to give it a shot, but it has not been for so long. It's been up and down and left and right. But I'm not going to invest the time in something that historically has not proven to be stable, as well as I'm kind of past that point in my life. I don't have more than a few hours a week. You know, I mentioned at the top, like, I'm playing in the FIFA League. The FIFA is great for a online league. Todd and I, our two games took like 24 minutes. It was amazing. Yeah. And we played two matches, right? So there's a lot of reasons where a baseball online franchise doesn't make sense, or a hockey online GM Connected doesn't make sense. Very similar to baseball. Tons of games, tons of stuff. In a perfect world, in my opinion, we just get a nice in-between where I can set up tournaments and, you know, sort of single seasons with some cool parameters with a number of people. But the time commitment to do it and the complexity behind it, I don't think we'll see anything like it again. And I get it, and I can't even pretend to be upset. I get, by the way, why people are upset. I'm not saying they shouldn't be at all. I'm just saying I would be lying if I said that I was personally upset by this, because I'm not, because I'm never going to play it. So I'm not going to miss it.
Well, I'll say yes, and I'm with you right there, Rich, as far as this doesn't personally upset me, because as things were, I wasn't going to play it. I think what is distressing for me, and it would probably be for you and for people who had hopes for the mode becoming something better, is that this probably just means it's the end of any online franchise in The Show.
You're right. I get it. And that's what I mean. Like, I understand where everybody is coming from. I just find it hard to believe. I mean, with the ways that you can play The Show, to me, this is unfortunate. And you know what? Like, the way that and we've talked about this for years too, Brian, what I would love and what NBA Live did once was the ability to play a 7-game series.
Yeah.
How perfect would it be if we could just set up a 7-game series and would keep track of the wins and the losses and stuff?
Super simple, TJ. Why don't they just take postseason mode and make that online.
I don't know. Seems like a good idea.
And then assign people to teams.
And just pick the teams. That would work. That would make sense.
That'd be great.
Postseason mode offline allows you to put any teams you want into the bracket, right? If I remember correctly from last time I used it. Any teams, I don't even think it matters if it's AL or NL. You can put them wherever you want. And so I think that would be a blast. And then you play a series that way. And that's almost a halfway to a franchise mode, but you're not dealing with all the personnel changes and managing minor leagues and stuff, which is what a lot of people love about franchise mode. But at least you'd be able to have that social online thing, because Diamond Dynasty, you know, it scratches that itch for some people. But for people who are not into that, there's nothing that duplicates what online franchise would offer you. There's nothing in there that would do that. So I think that's really what's disappointing about it, from my perspective anyway.
Yeah, and the bigger frustration is, you know, I was ready to do an online franchise with a bunch of people, and we're hearing, you know, the new servers are coming, they're going to be great. We'll see. Everything's going to be silky smooth, and then, you know, 3 weeks before the game comes out, you hear a mode that you were interested in playing isn't going to be a thing coming out anymore.
And that was the other thing, right? So this wasn't NHL 15, it was an NBA 2K12 where removed free features were kind of hidden and consumers had to figure it out for themselves. But it is something where they only gave 3 weeks lead time, and they've been collecting pre-orders since November. And if you remember, Sony doesn't give refunds on pre-orders for digital, for anything purchased from their digital store. Right, TJ?
Yeah, I think you have to be, I think it's only like if you're in a couple states or in the UK where it's like illegal to not do pre-order or not be able to refund pre-orders. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is because you got the Aaron Judge, you technically redeemed something from the order. So
yeah, it's cheap excuse either way. I mean, it's absurd. Absurd that they don't give refunds.
Okay, I'm not talking about the refunds. What I'm talking about is the timing. I think the words they used are important. The words they used were basically, it didn't make the cut. So what that tells me, you know, and I'm inferring from this, obviously, I don't know anything about it, is that they wanted to do it, but at a certain point in time, they realized that they just weren't going to be able to get it in so time that, for that, shipping. Like, so I that, get that. That makes Rich, sense.
Rich, that time was not a week ago. Like, it may not have been in November that they knew if they truly were trying to get it in, but games go final. You know, this game has been final. It probably went gold 3 weeks ago or so. I mean, they used to go gold.
I don't.
They're pushing it to like 3 weeks now, I think, for gold.
Especially as a first party developer, I guarantee you they get additional time and things that need to be done and things that can be delivered as day one patches. I believe them when they say it didn't make the cut. I don't think that they were purposely trying to mislead people at all. I think it's an unfortunate timing of a game development schedule that they didn't do it. I guarantee you, if you ask them, you know, behind closed doors, honestly, you know, did you know this, you know, did you know that this wasn't going to be part of what was delivered, you know, when you did your original planning? I'm sure they wouldn't say no, because there's no reason to cut it unless, you know, there's some sort of impact that would be unless there's some way from impact from having to make upgrades to it based upon other things going on. There's a lot of interconnected systems in these things. So anyway, I don't think it was any sort of purposeful shielding this from consumers. I think it was just, hey, look, they had a schedule. They were hoping to get things in. Certain things got in, certain things didn't. You can't deliver something that doesn't work. It's better not to deliver something than to deliver something that doesn't work.
Yeah, it was the thing that was really upsetting was just kind of the way they did it. Because it came out Friday night after they had just had a 2 hour long Diamond Dynasty stream where, you know, in there you could have said, hey, this is happening. But they waited until that was over. They dropped
the classic Friday night news dump.
Yep. And then they just dropped it on the blog. So, I mean, if you just buy your game from GameStop and you're not following all this stuff, you're going to get home get ready to set up your online franchise, and you have no idea. Like, there was like 3,000 people in that stream. And then also they had the stream tonight, and they didn't mention it at all either.
Well, there's no reason to mention it now. It's out there. What do you want to do? You know, purposely get people ticked off again? That'd be insane to do that.
I would.
The chat was not happy.
Well, yeah, of course not. I'm not saying people should be happy. Again, this is not a defense of it. I'm just saying, in the course of making these incredibly deep, complex, online, internet-connected video games, all of the stuff that you have to do to get something ready for shipping is massive. And again, I'm not excuse for defending it, but I think that they wanted it and it wasn't going to make it working, and they did it. And why they made the announcement, they said it. Why keep talking about it? That would be crazy. Let's talk about all the great stuff that is going to be in the game. That's what I would do.
That's not what people in the chat will allow, though. They will keep bringing it up until you know, because they get the perception that they're ignoring it, right? So, I mean,
I think the people that are upset, they just want to see some remorse.
They want it to be acknowledged.
And a blog post doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's not personal at all. So I understand that. I don't buy the story necessarily that they're selling Rich. Just me. I'm a little more skeptical in that regard.
We're allowed. You're allowed to be wrong on the show, Brian. You're allowed.
I don't allow that. So let's shift gears a little bit to the other thing, which is all the changes for Road to the Show. And Road to the Show, you know, it's been around, seems like forever, well over a decade. And it really hasn't changed all that much in that time. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. It has really suited baseball really well in the way it's just kind of a standard career mode, and it's based on you improving your player, and it's all about performing and then distributing how you're going to improve them and moving up from the minors into the majors and all of that. It's exactly what you would want from baseball. But you know, other games have kind of evolved and innovated over that time, and the show hasn't done much of that. They did last year. They brought in a little bit of a story element through that documentary presentation. Wasn't dramatic like you're seeing in other games, but it added a little bit to it. They're changing it a lot.
You didn't
get
to talk to any ghosts in the show last year, which is not upsetting.
I apologize for that. Yes, that was just a fantastic moment in sports gaming when that was revealed.
I believe that was a Spike Lee joint, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah. Was that the Spike Lee year? Yeah, it was, right? Yeah.
I think so.
So they're changing a lot. And I'm, me personally, I've seen some mixed reaction to the decisions, the design decisions that have been made here. And I can understand it because I can't say I'm a fan of what they're doing with this. But I can also see from the other end why they're doing it, and I can see why some people do appreciate what they're doing here. So let's talk about some of it, TJ. Basically, I on Twitter I said they were getting rid of they're taking away some of the control you have, and it's getting a little more restrictive. So they're doing things like you no longer get the points that you can then distribute to your various categories, whatever you want to put them into. There are archetypes that, similar to what you've seen in like an NBA 2K and an NHL, where you get your basically the model of a player, and then you have attribute caps that you can't exceed. So you're not going to be able to build, I think they specifically said you're not going to be able to build a Mike Trout, but.
No, they said you can build Mike Trout because he is not a guy that's 99 everywhere.
Okay. But you're not going to really be able to do what a lot of people did in the past, which is max your guys out. And the reason why this is, I have mixed feelings on this is, Road to the Show is a very self-contained mode. There's no online element to it. There's no online competitive element to it. Unlike in NBA 2K, where you're taking your players online and competing against other people, and that competitive balance is so important. This is an offline only mode, and typically in offline only modes we like to have freedom, and people like to have the freedom to do what they want with it. And in the case of the show, it was, you know, one of the things I liked about it was, okay, I'm a pitcher, I can decide I'm going to focus on putting all these points I'm getting into certain pitches I like to throw the most, or if you're a hitter, you know, putting it into power or contact or speed, you know, whatever really mattered to you the most. And it seems like they're taking away some of that, and they're making it so you don't have as much opportunity to do that. But on the other end of things, it's probably more realistic because it's going to be more performance-based. But then there's also the concern that how do you go to a performance-based system when – how are you going to – like I saw an example somebody posted on Twitter, which was if you're a weak hitter, how are you going to – how are you expected to like hit home runs in order to get your power up so that you can hit home runs, you know, or if you have no speed, how are you going to steal bases and it's when you steal bases that you get increases to speed. It's, you know, conundrums like that, that I think have people concerned, but again, it is more realistic. And I think we always like seeing that, in modes, but I feel like, again, I don't know if this is the way to go with this mode. And it's definitely getting a mixed reaction, mixed response from where I've looked, because a lot of people do want to max their guys out. They want to spend the time doing that. And you know, if that's what they want to do, they're not hurting anybody by doing it. So restricting that is, I think, kind of a curious choice. But what do you think, TJ?
Yeah, I think I did the maxing out a guy once or twice, and then it just became no fun. It was like 126 home runs in the season. And I'm like, this is not interesting to me. But yeah, I'm kind of interested in the way they're doing it now. I like the archetype layout that they're doing, where you can, you know, say I'm going to be a power hitter. So I wonder if while you're in like double A, if, you know, 40 power is going to be enough for you to hit a home run, so that you can build those attributes up, so that when you get to the pros, it actually counts a lot more. So I wonder if that stuff in the minors isn't going to count as much. Mm-hmm. Plus, you're going to get a lot of they showed off a lot of stuff. Like when you have your days off now, there's going to be like, hey, do you want to work off a tee and get your contact up? Or do you want to do power drills with your teammate to get your power up? So it looks like there's going to be ways outside of the game to increase that stuff. The only thing that's kind of weird is they said they took out the microtransactions, so you can't just like straight up buy the attribute points anymore. Mm-hmm. But then they, like in the blog post, I think it said like no microtransactions in this mode, but the equipment thing is still the equipment that you pull from Diamond Dynasty and that you buy off that marketplace. So I don't know. They kind of, they made it sound like you don't need to spend money, which technically you don't need to spend money because you're going to get stuff after every game and maybe you get good equipment in there, but
do we know if their equipment still provides ratings boosts?
Yeah,
I mean, it still does. Okay, I was going to say if it was just cosmetic, then buying it, who would care? But yeah. I mean, actually, who cares anyway? Like the whole microtransaction thing, it's gonna be ironic for me to say this, but who cares about the microtransactions in Road to the Show? Did anybody really ever spend money in that? And did anyone care if somebody did? Again, there's no competitive element to this mode, so why would we worry about microtransactions? Like I think that's funny that they kind of called it out, saying no more microtransactions, when I don't think anybody was upset by microtransactions being in Road to the Show, because they were not, it was not necessary to buy them. I never did. And I think Owen did just for like funny articles, and that was pretty much the extent that we knew of spending money in Road to the Show.
I did it once just because I had a bunch of stubs left over and I wanted to do it. I think the complaint was that people weren't getting enough attribute points, I guess, fast enough to build their guy up. So they felt like they were getting forced into spending money. But
yeah,
but I didn't feel that was the case. But
no, right. That's just people being impatient because baseball takes a long time. Like,
I remember not doing that stuff and getting to the pros within the first year and a half. So, I really didn't understand what the problem was there.
Rich, go ahead, TJ.
But I do like that you're going to get rewarded for how you actually play. And, you know, like if you want to be a power guy, now you have to play as a power guy and try to do that. You can't just go out there, just do little slap hits and then put those points into power. So you have to, it's more realistic where you actually have to play how you are and look at how things are going to work out. Also, I think we kind of knew that We always knew that when they started doing the year-to-year saves, that there was going to be times where there was going to be problems.
Yeah.
And now with this update, so the way they said the year-to-year saves are going to work, you can still bring your guy over, but you're going to get kicked to that archetype menu to start with. Like, they're going to ask you those questions. And then your guy's going to start regressing down to those caps that they put into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, which I'm sure will please those people. I mean, it's probably not that many people who are transferring people over, transferring their characters over, but that are like maxed out. Although maybe you get maxed out and then you don't want to lose that. I don't know, but I can't imagine it's going to affect too many people, but I would think that's not going to make them real happy.
Yeah, I think it's just something that we knew when they started doing that. One of the worries was, well, now they can't do much to the mode because they don't want to break that. So this is the first time that we've actually ran into something where your guy's not going to come over, you know, perfectly from the last game to the next game.
Rich, remind me, you know, how do you play Road to the Show? Do you transfer your guy over from the previous game? How do you like to build your player? And are you looking forward to them, or do you feel kind of like I do that? I'm not sure this is the direction they should have gone.
I've been playing the show or its predecessor every year. So I mean, Road to the Show, the original version was introduced, I don't know how many years ago, 10 years ago, more. So I spent 4 or 5 years in a row investing a lot of time in that, and eventually just got burnt out is not the right term, but eventually I just got disinterested in Road to the Show, and I haven't played it significantly for years. I've certainly put in a lot of time, but I haven't played it for years. I did play it more last year than I had in a while. So typically I will, years ago I used to be a pitcher, but the last few times I've done it, I've actually gone to being a hitter. I'm I'm interested. I don't know whether I will play it much. I'm certainly going to try it. I don't know. I like the commentary that I heard. I think it was Ramon Russell who was quoted as saying, look, we want to sort of make this kind of like a grind, right? Like, because when you are a minor leaguer, it is a grind, and I just like the fact that they're changing some things up, and whether I will like it in practice, I don't know, but I'm down with this because it is different and it's something new, and who knows, maybe it'll be more interesting, maybe it won't be, I don't know, but I'll give it a shot. I'm glad that they're doing some changes. It's such a historic, I mean, this mode has been around for so long. It's really difficult to do a whole lot with it, I think, unless you just do something radically different. So I'm gonna give it a go as a hitter. I really want to enjoy hitting in the show. I've talked about it the last few times, right? So I'm not going to belabor it. But I'm going to try to give it a go as a second baseman. That's perennially my position in my very short, you know, career playing Little League. I was, generally speaking, a second baseman. I've always sort of made my guy that. I'm going to give it a go, and we'll see what happens. But overall, I am happy with what I've heard, and I'm gonna go into it with a good attitude and hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, I am not against change. And you know, we've talked many times over the years now how I was a little worried about what this year-to-year save transfers would do as far as these modes, as far as Road to the Show and Franchise mode, that they can't really change them dramatically. They can't turn Road to the Show into a story mode. Then they'd be breaking the save transfer, be something completely different. And they can't add features that are so, you know, revolutionary that it would break again the ability to transfer those saves. So I don't mind change in general. I think that's good. I don't know. You know, maybe I'll end up liking this system better. But I kind of feel like the freedom of being able to distribute the points that you earned, I don't remember anybody complaining that about it. So I don't know why they felt these changes were necessary, but I'm going to give it a shot and maybe I'll end up enjoying it more. I don't know, because again, just like you, Rich, I've played Road to the Show enough. It every year you're playing Road to the Show. It's not very different year to year. So maybe this will end up being a good thing. I hope. So we have that to look forward to. Next week, TJ, is franchise mode week, is it not?
It is.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that confirmation. I was on the edge of my seat.
Dramatic pause.
So that's going to be an interesting one, because not only maybe online franchise will get a mention, but I think really the only thing we know about franchise mode is that they're giving you more ways to play less, as far as playing like 3 innings worth of games, something like that. If I remember the trailer right, that a game would, you'd only play 3 innings or 3 innings worth of action. And so they're trying to, again, give you ways to not play the game but still have an influence on it, which is something they've done, you know, successfully to an extent with things like player lock, Rich.
Well, hey, I mean, look, I've been talking about it for years, right? Like, and with NBA 2K, the way that I play that now is I set it to full 12-minute quarters and I simulate all the way to midway through the third period, and it has dramatically improved my my experience, because I didn't know the joy of sort of, okay, being presented every night with different situations. Like, oh, sometimes you're up by 5, sometimes you're down by 13, sometimes you're up by 20. What are you going to do? It's so great. I never thought about it. Like, I was a purist, I guess, right? Where it's like, no, yeah, play the whole game. That's what you do. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I sort of love the idea. If you're, you know, you got a simulation engine, and you say, you know what, send me to the 7th inning, right? And wherever I am is where I am. And I can choose to pick it up and play it, or I can choose to, oh, you know what, I'm not interested in playing a game when it's 5-1 in the 7th inning. I'm going to simulate to the end and start tomorrow. And, oh, tomorrow it's, you know, it's 2-2 in the 7th. I want to pick that up. Like, I just, I love that if that's what they're going to do. It's a really interesting way to play through season. Madden Moments is kind of like it, but it, you know, it just the whole sort of being presented with a game situation every game really adds a story arc to a franchise mode that I had never really even thought about. Mm.
So, yeah, save it for next week, Rich. We'll talk about everything franchise next week. I'm sure that will be one of the topics of debate, because I personally don't really find it all that satisfying baseball wise, because baseball is so it's just pitch to pitch kind of a thing for me. But it's almost necessary. 162 game seasons and stuff, because people just don't play it. They don't play that far.
It's a lot of baseball.
So you either simulate, which is not really all that satisfying, because you don't feel like you have enough of an influence, or you play it out and you don't have the time to do it. So it's a dilemma that baseball games have had to deal with for as long as they've really existed. So we will be talking about that next week and whatever else comes up over the next week, which I'm sure there'll be other fascinating sports gaming news that we will hit on. Until then, thank you, Rich Grisham and TJ Lowerman, That Sports Gamer. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. Again, we'll be back next week. Take care till then.
Hey, everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, Credible.com. You know, student loans can completely wipe you out if you don't get a handle on them. How do you do that? Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace for student loan refinancing, and using their simple platform, it takes less than 2 minutes to find out if you're overpaying on your student loans. Plus, you could save thousands by refinancing. All you have to do is visit Credible.com/PressRow. Answer a few quick questions, and right away you'll get real rates, not ranges of rates, from multiple lenders. Credible.com is completely free to use, and checking your rates will not affect your credit score, so you really have nothing to lose. The average user who refinances through Credible.com saves almost $19,000 over the life of their loan. Think about what you could do with $19,000. So, For a limited time, our listeners will get a $200 welcome bonus when refinancing through Credible.com/PressRow. Pay off your student loans faster or lower your monthly payment, whatever works for you. Just go to Credible.com/PressRow.